Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Security Testing, the podcast where we deep dive into all you need to know about security testing. My name is Ben Armstrong.
And I'm Tom Ballin.
And today we're going to cover the need for continuous testing. So, Tom, what is continuous testing, or at least what is the perception of it?
I think the perception of continuous testing is finding a means and a way of getting coverage of all of your assets across your entire environment 365 days of the year, right? That, at least my understanding when I talk to people about what they actually want, that's what they're hoping to accomplish. But I think, you know, there's a few different ways people try and skin that cat. What people call continuous testing, what people would actually consider to be continuous testing, I think is a
what's,
bit...
What's implied? What's implied when we as vendors market on the term continuous testing? What are we implying versus delivering?
I think what we're implying is the ability to get 100% coverage, right? It's the ability to actually test for vulnerabilities consistently across the entire estate all of the time, which is obviously an unrealistic expectation to set for people. And I think people might be surprised when they start digging beneath the surface to realize what continuous testing actually ends up looking like for a typical organization.
Yeah, you can't test every feature of every system for every minute of every day, right? So where do you actually then start? Where do you then think, okay, well, talking about what's out there at the moment, how far back do you row from that position to get to something that's actually realistic?
I think you have to start by looking at what the precursor to continuous testing really was, and it's probably split into two or three things. You know, you had your baseline penetration testing, somebody coming in once a year, and that obviously was not enough for a lot of organizations who saw the need for vulnerabilities to be identified much, much more proactively, because they were coming out more frequently and because organizations weren't being attacked once a year. You know, they were new vulnerabilities were popping up every single month and people needed a way to be able to find them. So what I saw was organizations starting to adopt internal testing processes, usually through automation and tools, through scanning that they did regularly, quarterly, monthly, even daily in a lot of cases, which was a sort of move towards more frequent security testing, still not continuous. But there was still a gap in what that was able to accomplish, right? The gap was the fact that people are able to find certain vulnerabilities that tools aren't able to find. So I think businesses tried to address that problem with bug bounty. You know, they tried to bring in or tried to open up to the community to be able to say, you're free to try and compromise my systems every minute of every hour of every day. And that was a sort of continuous testing, or at least a precursor to continuous testing. But I think it still had its limitations. You know, you couldn't get that assurance that everything was being covered all of the time. I don't know. What are your thoughts on bug bounty? You know, do you think it's fair to call that a kind of continuous testing?
I don't think it's. I mean, yeah, it all comes back to the. I wouldn't say the definition of continuous, but the interpretation of continuous. Right? There's an awful lot of businesses dining out on the message, and we've already covered what we think it implies, but isn't realistic. Bug bounty, I think, is part of a security testing program, and it's a sensible thing to do. I don't think it really hits the nail on the head when it comes to continuous testing, or at least what that, you know, the industry's interpretation of continuous testing. I think it's part of that sort of legacy approach that should continue. And naturally, bug bounty is incredibly limited in its focus on the external attack surface, right? You know, when we talk about security testing, I'm not going to say the vast majority, but a good portion of the security testing that businesses do isn't on just what's available externally. Talking about scanning at code level, talking about any form of pen testing where credentials are given, talking about internal networks, you know, all this stuff isn't typically covered in attack surface management, and it isn't covered in bug bounty, right? So it, at the very least, bug bounty can't be classed as a comprehensive continuous testing program.
Well, I mean, I challenge you on that a little bit. There are more exclusive bug bounty programs where you do get credentials. You do get a level of internal access to systems. You may be not tearing through somebody's entire internal infrastructure and their card data environment and things of that nature, but you certainly, it is more than the traditional somebody posts something up on a public forum and says, here's the URLs, have at it.
But then you're surely not suggesting for a second that by claiming, well, I'm testing something every day of the year, that that comes close to a continuous testing program. Because if that is the case, then I guess we can all just pack up now, because that's fairly easy to manage.
No, I mean, I'm not suggesting that, but I don't think the limitation is the scope that the testers are given. There are bug bounties where you are more limited in scope, and there are bug bounties where you're provided with a wealth of information for the test. I think the limitation is in the assurance of the level of coverage, right? It's knowing that everything that needs to have been covered throughout the year has been covered throughout the year, because, like we've already said, you can't cover absolutely everything. So you need to be refined about what it is that you're covering, when it is you're covering it.
And then, to be clear, when we're talking about coverage, we're not just talking about conventional coverage where it's coverage of what's actually inside a system, so making sure that you get across all 20 features in an app. But we're also talking about coverage across the organization at this point, right? When we talk about continuous testing, it's generally a strategic conversation about all of the assets the company owns, or at least the critical assets the company owns. So we could be talking about the difference between a bug bounty program focusing on, you know, ABC app, but ignoring XYZ app, or focusing on cloud environment in the US and ignoring the cloud environment in the EU. You know, these are the sorts of, you know, when we talk about continuous testing, it's about looking at how do we strike a balance across the entire organization instead of this sort of, you know, focus on a particular area that when you leave researchers or bug bounty companies or anything of that ilk to their own devices, often you are at the behest of the researchers themselves. These are common, not necessarily issues, but common challenges with any bug bounty program, where, you know, in terms of getting direction or getting commitment from the researchers, because let's not forget, these guys could be testing any other business at that point in time. They're testing yours, and they're obviously naturally going to try and go where they think the money is.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that's interesting when you said about that is you are right that bug bounties are being applied in certain areas inside a business. Automated scanning tools are being applied in certain areas inside a business. And to me, continuous testing should be about being able to say, I know that these areas of my business can be effectively covered by a bug bounty program or maybe some form of more coordinated bug bounty program. I know these areas of my business can be covered by a combination of SAST and DAST, and maybe we can fold in some penetration testing at different points. And by having that sort of single, like that cohesive strategy that says I'm applying these tools in these places at these times, or having these playbooks that say this is when to bring in this tool, means that the bug bounty hunters are still seeing the value that they need to keep them incentivized, and the organization isn't pouring loads and loads of money into paying these people to find vulnerabilities that could have been found with an automated tool.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess just moving away from bug bounty as one medium for a second, what else is out there when looking at continuous testing, particularly as we start to discuss folding in humans into the program?
I mean, there's a lot of focus on things like ASPM, for example, in application security, you know, posture management capabilities that are able to orchestrate specific scanning against specific endpoints when changes are made. Mm-hmm. It's still not got the human element to it. It's still not got the capability of finding business logic flaws, for example, but it is a much more refined version of traditional SAST or DAST capabilities. in that it's able to deconstruct an application. It's able to understand when you have touched a new API endpoint, when you've introduced a new form field, when you have deployed a new feature, and therefore it's able to actually target that feature and be much, much more continuous in its approach. The problem there is that without the record to be able to say that that application or that feature was tested for specific things but not tested for other things, an organization is still left with a blind spot in terms of being able to understand what vulnerabilities might be present but haven't been detected by the tool. It's not necessarily a limitation of the tool itself, that's just maybe a limitation of the depth of understanding that people have in what the tool is and isn't capable of doing. And that kind of harks back to the relationship between security testing and the general business. You know, I think if I speak to a client, a lot of the time, what that client's saying, their interpretation of what I do is running scans. And that is an important element of the role. Is orchestrating the tools, feeding and watering them, setting them up and configuring them in the ways that they need to be used. But my main responsibility is not running the scans, it's running the tests that scans are not able to accomplish.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think when we start to look at automated testing in that way, and obviously joining all it up and getting that cohesive approach. But then, you know, when we start to look at, when we don't include the manual, when we don't include, you know, elements that are part of every company's testing program, regardless, then you end up just with a unjoined up strategy. And actually the irony is that one of the biggest problems with automated testing is a lack of context. And one thing humans excel in beyond tools is providing context. And I think that's a real big missed trick, because I think one of the, you know, by folding in the human testing and not ignoring it, it can add tremendous value.
Yeah, although ironically, while people absolutely do have access to more context and are able to apply context in their testing, I think people would be surprised at the lack of context that security testers often are expected to work with, right? You usually come in to do a job and you try and tease out pieces of information from an organization to help complement and help to refine what your testing approach is. But like, if we look at the kinds of information that are going to be really, really valuable to a tester before they even start their testing, the information like what kinds of vulnerabilities typically exist within a system, you know, what kinds of things those engineers or the languages and the architecture they're using have a tendency to introduce, or what things have changed since the last annual assessment, for example, those pieces of context that would be really, really valuable and would help to make that usually quite short engagement where somebody is looking for a very, very large variety of different vulnerabilities, it would help make that process a much more effective process. They don't happen, or if they do happen, it's an unreliable narrative because people are usually trying to scrape this information together from a bit of a flaky record, which is a shame. You know, we talk a lot about the idea that context is really, really valuable, but we don't provide the organizations or people don't provide organizations with the tools that they need in order to collect the context and to actually be able to apply it to its fullest effect.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we've got a fully automated approach to continuous testing. We've got a position that starts with bug bounties and then sort of extends into automated. None of these sound like fully comprehensive and figured out solutions, and there certainly isn't a standardized approach to doing this. Why is that? What's the biggest challenge that businesses face or that the industry faces in just figuring this out?
The skeptic in me wonders if it's because there's a few safe bets, right? There's a few forms of security testing that have been adopted by the industry and generally speaking accepted, and nobody's going to get fired for buying, right? If you have an annual penetration test and your auditor comes in at the end of the year and asks to see what you do in terms of security testing, you can hand them that document and be fairly confident that they're going to be satisfied by that. There is a push towards more continuous and more change-based testing with things like DORA and FedRAMP that actually talk about this idea that you can't just rely on an annual assessment, and that actually if you are making material changes inside your business throughout the year, those need to be assessed. But the standard that has been there for decades now has been to do this annual assessment and then maybe to do some frequent, you know, some regular scanning in the meantime.
And security is a vast area, right? And any security leader, whilst they want to work strategically and fixing some of the fundamental flaws in a security testing program, would class as a strategic action. The reality is that how much time is spent fighting fires versus thinking strategically. You know, if we as a security industry were in a position where, you know, there isn't somewhere in the security program that needs some desperate help and support and could constantly think strategically, then I think a lot of these challenges would get figured out. But I don't think that matches the reality. Second point, which is more about the industry and what we've managed to build, what is the most challenging part of understanding what a continuous testing program should be and do?
The most challenging part of what a security testing program should be and do. It depends who you're talking to, right? The most challenging thing for me to be able to build into a security testing program versus the most challenging thing for a budget holder to be able to do to actually justify making that spend on security testing are two very, very different things. From my perspective, the most challenging part is being able to efficiently and effectively determine when to use the right tool or person and when to fold those elements in together. But for a budget holder, it's being able to determine what the actual return on investment's going to be if you do spend a little bit more this year on security. I mean, you've got a commercial head on you. What's your, you know?
I agree. I think it's understanding the value, but I think understanding the value starts with a compelling solution to the problem, which I don't think exists at this moment in time. I mean, lifting the lid, I guess, on a little secret for our listeners. Obviously, we spent a good chunk of our lives working in penetration testing businesses, and trying to work out how to answer the question customers were coming to us with and saying, you know, how do we build a continuous testing program? How can we consume that? What does that look like? Like, there wasn't really an answer inside the traditional day rate model. And that's not necessarily because the way pen testing works is broken. I don't think anything needs to fundamentally change in the way we do pen testing. But with any continuous testing program, yeah, sure, I can give you 1, 2, 3, even 5 consultants every day for the next 365 days. Not a problem at all. Plenty of businesses are doing it, and you know, you could maybe go back to your auditor and say, yeah, now I do continuous testing. This is great. But for us, understanding what to test continuously, understanding how to test stuff continuously, that's the harder part, because if you can figure that out, then, you know, having a bunch of testers to throw at those tests is a solved problem already. Whether that's through the bug bounty model, whether that's through hiring internal testers, whether that's through whatever. For me, the hard part is how do we continuously understand what, where, how to test? You know, those common questions. But like everything in security, it's about doing the simple things, but doing them right, doing them efficiently, doing them every single time.
I was going to say, because that's not really the hard part, isn't it? It's not figuring out how to do that. It's figuring out how to do that at scale, right?
Yeah.
It's common sense to say, to figure out what you should test, what you need to do is figure out where vulnerabilities are likely to be. You know, vulnerabilities are likely to be in the places that you're changing the most, the places that have the most complex features and the most complex functionality, or the new things you're deploying. They're obviously the areas that you should be looking for vulnerabilities. But how at scale you figure out which areas are changing the most and which kinds of vulnerabilities they're likely to have been introduced, that's the real challenge, you know.
And this is not exclusive to manual testing at all. You know, do some research on DAST and find me someone anyone that hasn't got a problem with DAST in some way, shape and form. There is nothing wrong with DAST. DAST is a way of automating penetration testing activity. What could possibly be wrong with that? Well, the difficulty is it's slow, it's loud, it creates a lot of false positives and red herrings, if you like. How do you fix those problems? Well, stop scanning everything. Start giving the scanner some information on where it should be looking and start predicting what the potential output is going to be before the scanner's ran, so then you can make sense of the output more clearly. You know, this applies to human testing, it applies to automated testing. The emphasis needs to be on, and then the tooling needs to be built in and around that instead of starting with the tooling, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, DAST isn't a solution. It is a product that is part of a solution. People try and shoehorn it in as an alternative to manual testing. People try and expect it to be able to identify vulnerabilities with a higher level of confidence and accuracy than is reasonable. DAST is brilliant for a security tester. In my day-to-day job, being able to come in, being able to click go on something, or better yet, to have that already have happened before I even walked in the door, means that I have a list of things that I can get on with, and also a list of things that I know I don't even need to touch because they've already been covered beforehand. But if somebody said to me, let's compare a penetration test to a DAST tool, that would be like me saying, let's compare a builder to a hammer.
Yeah. Definitely. Some really, really good points here. Finally, let's just get on to talk about some of the practicalities behind continuous testing. Right, we touched on this before about challenges on how to procure it, and you know, you spoke a little bit about explaining ROI. But looking at continuous testing, either as it is now or as it's going to be, what are some of the practicalities of putting this in, and what should people be prepared for?
I think the first practicality is that the quality of data in massively influences the quality of data out. Mm-hmm. So the more visibility that you have over what your estate actually is, and that's both like understanding what your attack surface is, but also understanding what's going on inside that environment, what process exists, what changes are being made and are going to be made, that richness of context is going to make a big, big difference to what you decide to implement and how you decide to orchestrate the things that you do then decide to implement. I think that's something that businesses, you know, they do have a real problem with, and that is the precursor, in the same way that you wouldn't want to start rolling out an MDM before you have a decent asset inventory. You wouldn't want to start rolling out a continuous testing program until you know what environment you're going to be actually trying to apply testing to. I think the next practicality is understanding what tools and technologies are right for your stack. There isn't a one-size-fits-all here. There isn't a scanner that is better than another scanner. There is a scanner that is very good at specific technologies. There isn't an amount of manual testing that is required for an organization. There is more manual testing required in organizations that do sophisticated business logic changes on a monthly basis, and there is no need for manual testing in an organization, or very little need for manual testing in an organization that's a brochureware site and probably just does some manufacturing using traditional sewing machines, for example. Those are the things that immediately jump out at me, but you know, I don't know, what's your take?
I mean, third one I would add is cost, right? Is, you know, we speak to a lot of businesses that they come into this thinking, you know, for whatever reason, this is going to be cheaper, that it's going to be more affordable. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, cost is a perception and is entirely based on what you're doing right now, right? If you've gone to try and buy continuous testing off a traditional consultancy, my bet is when you start leaning that operation out and making it more efficient and only testing what needs to be tested, it would probably work out a hell of a lot cheaper. But at the same time, you know, I think there should be an understanding that you know, more assurance generally will come at a slightly higher price, but at the same time, will yield the results. And I'm not just talking about the price that you pay for the testing, right? I'm talking about the fact that when you move to continuous testing, you move into continuously discovering vulnerabilities. That in itself can incur a cost, because you know you need to be more aware of how developers and engineers and the people responsible for the fixes need to be aware of how vulnerabilities can come up almost, you know, throughout the week, throughout the month, rather than at the end of the year or at the end of the month, if you're typically used to running scans or tests in these periodic timeframes. So that's something to be considered. It's just really important to understand which stakeholders are invested in the business from a security testing standpoint. You know, things like SOC 2, ISO, generally speaking, they require regular security testing, right? This is entirely down to your own perception, and you've got to agree with your auditor. But there's no mandate for a test here or test there. You have to build a program that works for your business and matches the framework. Likewise, you might have customer contracts that mandate annual testing. You might have various board members that have an opinion on what security testing should be. But it's important to understand that when you move to continuous testing and proper continuous testing, that should come with a number of advantages that supersede annual pen tests or whatever other reason you've had before for doing testing. This is ultimately that if you would like to put security at the forefront of your value proposition, if you need to demonstrate your security at any point, the beauty of continuous testing is that you can take a snapshot in time. You can say, okay, person who's interested, which assets would you like to see have been tested and how much testing history would you like to see? And the power of that ultimately is if you were buying a piece of software, what do you want to know? Do you want to know that it's held up under scrutiny for a week, 10 months ago? Or do you want to see how it's performed under scrutiny every day for the last 3 months? Right? That for me is, it's a better approach. But in terms of practicalities, just be aware that it's important to check what is required. And if you're looking to take a step past that or whatever, make sure that they're all on board so that you're not ended up having to go over that after you've implemented the solution. Oh, and I think that's just about all we've got time for today. So before we wrap up, what would you say is your main takeaway, or that our listeners should have as their main takeaway from today's podcast?
I think it's about recognising that continuous testing is a way to be able to optimise your capability to discover vulnerabilities, but it's not about being able to cover every system every minute of every day, right? It's about being pragmatic about what systems you've got, what tools you have available to be able to find those vulnerabilities, and what the most effective way to orchestrate those tools to find those vulnerabilities as efficiently as possible might be. How about yourself?
I think the most important thing to take away from this is ultimately to try and understand, rather than layering your security testing, rather than saying, okay, well, we've got this here and we've got this here, and don't get me wrong, I don't think anyone sets out for this. They put these things over time and they end up with this layered approach. Something I like to call catch-all methods, right, is that you put them all in and you hope that if the SAS scanner misses it and the DAS scanner misses it and the pen test misses it, then the bug bounty might just catch it. And start to actually think strategically about what to do and when. And how, if the goal is to find things as fast as physically possible, and then once found, have as much context about said thing as possible to do something about it, then start there and then work outwards from that point, rather than just sort of, yeah, like I say, sitting in this sort of like this net under a net under a net under a net, because that for me is just not continuous testing. Okay. Topic for our next episode is automation's place in security testing. So be sure to look for that, and you'll find it on all your favourite podcasting platforms. And we're also on YouTube, Spotify and Amazon Music, as I'm reading on the screen in front of me. I'm not being rude, but it's written right there. Thank you very much. Speak to you next week.